Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. We praise God for being here on today in Jesus' name. Amen. We praise God. Amen. If you are listening to me right now, you are blessed. And I'm blessed because you're hearing my voice, because my voice can't do nothing for nobody. But you are blessed if you are listening to me because you are in the land of the living in Jesus' name. I praise God for you and you and you being with us on today, wherever you're listening to the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle radio show from. I praise God for you in Jesus' name. We are being broadcasted around the world. So we praise God for every country, every city, every state. In Jesus' name, we want to give honor, first off, to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of our life. In Jesus' name, we thank God for the Lord blessing us to be alive just one more day. In Jesus' name, we also want to give honor to the founder and leader of this broadcast. In Jesus' name, of this network, in Jesus' name, the Spirit Alive Network. Amen, Bishop Cook, we thank God for you in Jesus' name. Amen. We give you honor on today. And I would also, would not be remiss to say I give honor to my pastor and first lady who are absent today, but I praise God for them and the Triumphant Faith Apostolic Church family in Jesus' name. Praise God for all of you. In Jesus' name, give you honor as well. In Jesus' name, amen. On today, we are talking about a very, very lively topic on today. I was reading this past week. I was in my studies, and the Lord took me in the Word of God, and He showed me that salvation was predestined. Amen. He showed me that salvation was predestined. And the way He showed me is by the words that were in the Word of God. And I was trying to ask the Lord, well, how was this predestined for us? How was this predestined? And the Lord gave it to me. He said, well, number one, we knew that Adam had sinned in the garden, and we needed a way to salvation. We needed a way out of our sins, even though on the day of Pentecost, that's when salvation came. But before then, it was spoken of before the day of Pentecost. Amen. Salvation was talked about. Salvation was talked about, and it was predestined for us. And if we look in the Word of God, which I'm going to take you to the Scripture in Jesus' name, I'm not going to say anything where I don't have Scripture to back it up. Amen. Because on this, I love teaching, and I love talking about the Word of God. But if you don't have the Scripture to back it up, you don't need to say nothing at all. Amen. So we praise God for that. Amen. But also, the Lord showed me that the ways of salvation has been tainted. The steps to salvation have been tainted with. And some things have been added to, some things have been taken out, some things throughout the generation. People have said, this is all right.
you just have to do this, you just have to do that, and everything. We're going to look at the definition of what salvation, with the spiritual definition of what salvation is. How did salvation, why do we need salvation? Why do we need salvation? How do we receive salvation? The way we receive salvation has been tainted. People have said that you can receive salvation this way, you can receive salvation that way. And it's not that way. There's only one way. Now, first off, I wanna give this disclaimer now. Whatever somebody has been taught, we are not beating anybody across the head with the Word of God. I'm just telling you from the Word of God what God said about salvation. Amen. So if you don't like me for what I'm about to say, or what the Lord is getting ready to say, because I didn't write this, you can turn me off. And I know Bishop Cook don't mind me saying that, because the Word of God is here to cut out sin. The Word of God is here to either draw or to draw souls, or souls are going to walk away. It's either going to do one or two things. It's either going to drive you or draw you. I'm just telling it like it is. Amen. All right. We're going to start off in the book of Matthew. We're going to go to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 16. And this is where we're going to start off at. And we're going to look and we're going to read this scripture. And this is where Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 through 19. Amen. Verses 15 through 19. Amen. And it reads, "He saith unto them, But who say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Amen. These verses in this scripture right here shows us and is telling us in more ways than one where salvation was going to come from, who was going to preach salvation. I'll put it that way. Peter was going to be the first one to bring forth the message of salvation. This is where salvation came from, out of the mouth, as far as out of the mouth of a person, speaking of the salvation. Now, we know that salvation comes through Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that Peter saved people, because salvation didn't come through Peter, but the Word of God came out of Peter's mouth. Amen. If we look at this verse, or these verses, this is where salvation was predestined. This is where God was going to have he spoke, and basically he was saying was, you're going to be my mouthpiece. You're going to tell people about this salvation. that I'm getting ready to pour out on the earth. I'm getting ready to pour out after I'm gone. And after I've descended back up into heaven, and after all of this stuff done took place, I'm going to pour out my spirit. And I'm going to use you as my mouthpiece. Amen. Now, when I said earlier that salvation, the steps of salvation and the ways of salvation have been tainted, there are different, now when I say this, I'm not bashing anybody's religion. I'm not bashing anybody because I don't have religion personally, me personally. This is not scripture. This is not Bible. Me personally, I don't have salvation. I have salvation. I don't have religion. Amen. So a religious person is like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. I don't have that. I have salvation. Amen. So a person that receives salvation will receive salvation the way God ordained it to be, because of the fall of Adam. Just like when you go into battle, you have to have a battle strategy before. No war starts without a battle strategy. The war we see with Russia and the other country, amen. Russia thought of this plan before they did it. They ain't just come out and just, you know, are we just going to do this? Amen. They had a strategy first. If you look through the Bible, Gideon had a strategy before he sent his army to battle the Midianites. He went to the Lord for his strategy, right? The Lord got a strategy of salvation for us. And we must, as people of God, we must follow the strategies of God, because there is a way that seemeth right to man. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right to man, but the end thereof is death. Amen. Your ways are not God's ways. Our thoughts are not God's thoughts. We can't see as far as God can. So God has put a strategy of salvation together for us. Amen. And we must follow that strategy. If we step out of line of that strategy, we're doomed. We have not received salvation. And a lot of people have come down through the generations and have tried to taint the plan of salvation. They have. They say you can do it this way, you can do it that way, you can be baptized, you don't have to be baptized. Only thing you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and you're saved. No. There is a full plan of salvation. Now we're gonna go into that. I'm gonna hit something real quick. And I'm gonna use this as an example. The Trinity. The Trinity is man-made. I'm just going to say that right now. If you look in the Bible, Trinity is not found in the Bible, first of all. Can't find it. But what they use, and this is what the Spirit of the Lord gave to me, the reason why Trinitarians use the word Trinity, which means three, where they base their stuff off of is Matthew 28:19. Okay? They believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They believe in baptism in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. This is three. They believe that they're going to see three entities. All through the Bible, you have never read where God said that he was three different entities. Every time from Genesis to Revelations, anytime there was a scripture based on our verse based off God, it was never God, it was God. One. I'm going to show you something. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verse number 4. And I'm going to show you. And I'm just using the Trinity as an example because a lot of people are trying to receive salvation underneath the baptism of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and that's not true. That's not receiving salvation. Amen. So let's go to Deuteronomy. It started way back here. I was like, well, Lord, did you say anything about being one in the Old Testament? Because I know a lot of people, they like the New Testament, and some people like the Old Testament, and some people like the New Testament. But did you say it in both? And Lord said, yeah, I sure did. And the Lord gave me a scripture, too, to back it up. Let's go to Deuteronomy, chapter number 6. He gave me Deuteronomy, chapter number 6, verse number 4. Amen. Deuteronomy, chapter number 6, verse number 4. Amen. And Deuteronomy, chapter number 6, verse 4. And it reads, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, is one Lord." Amen. That's it. Amen. One Lord. Our God is one Lord. One Lord. Anytime you read a verse in the Bible about God, he always refers himself as one. You might say, well, Minister Adam, what are you saying? Are you saying what I believe is not true? No, I didn't say it. I never said that. I'm just reading from the Word of God. Trinitarians, and I'm gonna go other places too. I'm not just gonna hit the Trinity. I'm not just gonna base it off one. Because the steps of salvation, the plan of salvation has been tainted many ways. Many, many ways. Okay? They say that you can be saved under Buddha, that you can be saved under Allah, that you can be saved under this, and you can be saved with that. No. Nope, 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 no. Sorry. So we're going to hit all of it today. Amen. But I'm just using this as an example. When we look in the book of Deuteronomy, and it shows us this, that the Lord is not one. Let's go to, I got a scripture in the New Testament. Now watch this. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. Because we're about to break this down. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 5. Now, we just read Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, where it says the Lord is one, right? Our Lord, the Lord our God is one. Amen. So let's go to the book of Ephesians, and let's see what Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5 says. We're gonna look at this. We're gonna see what God has to say about it. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 4. And if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please feel free to call in or leave a message on the message board or in our chat room. Please do so. And Bishop Cook will get those questions to me, and I'll try to answer those questions the best way I can. I do not know everything. If I don't know, and I will tell you, if I don't know, I will tell you I don't know. But I won't leave you answerless. I will go, and if you allow me to, I will get your phone number after the show, and I will find an answer for you. And if I don't know the answer, I'll go out and find the answer, and I'll bring the answer back to you, amen? Or I'll bring that person that knows the answer to you so they can give you that answer, amen? Amen. That's the most what my former pastor and my current pastor taught me that. If you don't know the answer, you better not say nothing off the top of your head. They ain't say it like that, but they because it's on you if you tell people the wrong thing. The blood is on your hands. Amen. So I don't mind saying I don't know. Amen. But in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, verse 5, it reads, and we're going to go to verse 6, too. We're going to read verse 6, verse 5 and 6. And it reads, Ephesians, well, let's read verses 4 through 6. Amen. Verses 4 through 6. Amen. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And verse number 6 reads, one God and the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Amen. This is showing us that God himself is one. Amen. There is no three. Well, you might say, well, Minister Adam, you just messed up Matthew 28:19 then. No, I didn't. Well, what about Matthew 28:19? It says be baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. No, it didn't. No, it didn't. It did not. Oh, I read it for myself, Minister Adam. You're saying that I read it wrong? No, I didn't say you read it wrong. I just said, no, that's not the way of baptism. No, that's not. Let's go to Matthew 28:19. Well, actually, let's go to, before we go there, let's go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. So I'm going to break down this oneness real quick. 1 John chapter 5, verses 7. Well, yeah. Verses 7 through 8. 1 John chapter 5, verses 7 through 8. Amen. This is where they get Matthew 28:19 confused. Amen. And then after this verse, we're going to read Matthew 28:19, okay? But 1 John chapter 5, verses 7 through 8 read, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Boom. There we go. These three are one. You might say, well, that backs up Matthew 28:19 because, you know, it said the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. No, it didn't, though. It's just saying that these three names are under one name. That these three things, because Father is not a name. The Word is not a name. The Holy Ghost is not a name. But these three are one. Now watch this. Let's read verse number 8. And there are three that bear record. There are three that bear witness in the earth. The spirit, the water, and the blood. Okay? And there are three, and these three agree in one. Amen? These two verses right here are letting us know that we need all of this. Amen. What it's telling us is that there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Now watch this. Why does it say three? There are three that bear record. You might say, well, that's the Trinity right there. There's three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. That's three right there, right? No. Nope. Nope. Well, let's go to Matthew 28:19. Then I'm gonna show you something. Then I'm gonna show you why I said no. Now, before we go there, hold on, wait a minute. In 1 John chapter 5, verse number eight, it says there are three that bear witness in the earth. The water, the spirit, the water, and the blood. What is that? That is what we need for salvation. The spirit, the water, and the blood. What do you mean? And these three agree in one. Why do they agree in one? Because it is the representation of him. It's the representation of God. The spirit of God, the blood of Jesus, and the water, and the water. We need the water. We need the baptism, right? We need baptism. Amen. There's three to bear record. He's saying that these three bear record. These three bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, which is him. Which is him. And then there's three that bear record. There's three that bear witness on the earth. The spirit, the water, and the blood. What do we need down here on the earth? We need the spirit, the water, and the blood. We need his spirit. We need the water of baptism. And we need the blood of Jesus down here on the earth. We're set free by the blood of the Lamb. And those are the three. Those are the three that agree in one. They agree in one. Why? Because there's only one salvation. There's only one faith. One faith. Amen. So let's go to Matthew 28:19. You might say, well, there it's talking about the Father, it's talking about the Word, it's talking about the Holy Ghost. Let's go there. Matthew 28:19. Matthew 28:19. Amen. And I don't have my tablet today, so I'm flipping through pages. Sometimes I like to flip through pages, and sometimes I like to scroll through my tablet on my Bible on my tablet. Amen. So, amen. But Matthew 28:19, it reads, "Go ye therefore, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." Teaching them. Oh, okay. Yeah, Matthew 28:19. Amen. "Go ye there," and I'll read it again. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." You might say, well, a person might say, well, it says it right there. Therefore, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Father is not a name. Son is not a name. Holy Ghost is not a name. It said in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. What is that of? What is the name? Let's go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5 verse 43. And I'll show you the name of the Father. St. John chapter 5, verse 43. St. John chapter 5, verse 43. I'll show you the name of the Father. I said, it says it right there. This Matthew 28:19 was the Great Commission. This was Jesus talking. This was Jesus speaking. And he was commanding his disciples to baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm going to show you that the name of the Father is Jesus. Amen. And it reads, "I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, ye will receive. Now, watch this. Jesus was not only, he was speaking, but he was also speaking to the whole entire world. Because right now, this world is so messed up. Because a lot of people, even in the church, will tell you, oh, it don't take all that. You don't have to be baptized, and you don't have to be baptized. Some people say you got to be baptized. Some people say you don't have to be baptized. Some say you don't have to be baptized in Jesus' name. Some say you can be baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But look, watch this. Jesus was right in this verse because he was saying, I come in my Father's name. What was his name? Jesus. Jesus. I come in my Father's name. Jesus. Jesus came and Jesus died. He said, I come in my Father's name. God is the Father. The Father had to have, the Father was God. God is a spirit. A spirit cannot feel pain. A spirit cannot feel rejection. A spirit cannot feel the natural pain that we feel. So what did the spirit have to do? The spirit of God had to form himself a body, and he had to put that body in the womb of a virgin. And when that body was created, he put his spirit, he put himself in that body. He put himself in that body. And he came to earth to die and set free. That's why he said, I come in my Father's name. See, our mind is not like God's mind. Our finite minds can't think above God. Some scientists and some people can't even imagine, like, they can't believe the way God spoke. They can't believe, okay, how can he do this? How can Jesus was a man. How can he do? He wasn't like us. But he was like us. He felt our pain. But he was the sincere fleshly image of God. He was God. He was in the flesh. He was God in the flesh. But yet he was in heaven. Because God can do that. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. Amen. He has the power to do and say and do all that he needs to do. Amen. He's God like that. He is the most powerful God that has ever been. And look, watch this. This is what the Lord revealed to me. All of these gods that are on the loose right now. There's false gods everywhere. You can make anything out of a god. Amen. This is what the Lord showed me. That we as people, we can make anything out of a god. We can even go outside and make our car a god. If we put too much emphasis on one thing, instead of God, we're making that thing out of a god. Amen. If we're putting our time and our effort into one thing or multiple things, we're making those things out of a God, and we're putting God, the true and living God, on the back burner. We're making those things God. That can't bring us no power, no joy, no anything. Amen. But yet, we want to find other avenues to the way to get to salvation. And God has already put a plan of salvation in place. Amen. He's already put it together. Amen. But this is what God is telling us. I'll come in my Father's name. Now, we know who the Father is, Jesus. Now, watch this. Let's go to Matthew 1 and 21. We're going to find out who the Son is. Matthew 1 and 21. Amen. And this lesson that we're teaching today might fall over into next week. Amen. If the Lord says the same. Matthew 1 and 21. And this is where we find who the Son is. Amen. This is where we get a glimpse of who the Son is. Amen. And it reads, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. This is who the Son is. So now we know who the Father is. Now we know who the Son is. Now let's see who the Holy Ghost is. Let's go to John chapter 14, verse 26. John chapter 14, verse 26. Amen. And this is not nothing. This is not something that's just off the top of my head. This is Bible. Amen. This is Bible. Matthew, John chapter 14. Verse 26, and it reads, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in what? My name. And he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. This is Jesus speaking. He said, and the Father. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Now, watch this. This is also, I don't want to say foretelling, because I don't want to say fortune telling or anything like that, because that's witchcraft. I'm not saying that. But he was also letting us know, just like he let Peter know, that he was going to preach the steps of salvation. Amen. Amen. That he was going to bring the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, that he will send in my Father's name. Well, how do I know that? Let's go to Acts 2 and 38. Amen. Oh, no, wait a minute. Let's go to Acts. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and then let's jump to 38. Amen? He said he'll send forth the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, in what? My name. Now, we know who the Father's name is, which is Jesus. We know who the Son's name is, which is Jesus. Amen? And now we know who the Holy Ghost's name is, which is Jesus. Amen? He's gonna send the Holy Ghost in his name. All right? Now watch this. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Watch this. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and it reads, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all on one accord. What? See that? One accord. Always referred as one. Amen. In one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, like as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. Now, let's stop right there. He said but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, will come in my, I will send in my name. He's sending the Holy Ghost right there. He's sending it. We're reading it right here on the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, They were all on one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. This verse right here, verse number 2, he was sending the Holy Ghost. He was sending salvation. He was sending it. And there appeared unto them clothing tongue, like as of a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And watch this. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And watch this. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. This is the steps of salvation. This is how the Holy Ghost comes. Now watch this. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Let's go to verse 38 right here. This is what we read in Matthew chapter number 16, verses 15 through 19. This is when Jesus was speaking to Peter. He said, "You're getting ready to be my mouthpiece." Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He was saying, Peter, you're going to be my mouthpiece. This is on the day of Pentecost. Watch this. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Watch that. See that? In the name of Jesus Christ. For the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And watch this. And watch this. And for the promises unto you and unto your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord thy God shall call. Amen. This is what Peter was talking about. This was the promise that Jesus made to us. Amen. In verse 39. But this is what Peter was talking about. This is what Jesus was talking about. Jesus was saying to Peter, you're going to be my mouthpiece. You're going to be my mouthpiece. He predestined salvation. A predestined salvation for us. Predestined salvation. Now, you might say, well, you always use Acts 2 and 38. Is there any other scriptures that I could use? Or is there any other scriptures besides Acts 2 and 38 that tells me that people have been baptized in Jesus' name? Yes. There is Acts chapter 8. Verses 12 through 17. Amen. Verses 12 through 17. There is Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 48. Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. Amen. And actually, I'm going to read a portion of Acts chapter 8, verses 12 and 17. I'm going to start at verse number 12. But when they believed, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Solomon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip. Amen. And beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Amen. They were baptized, both men and women. Men and women were baptized in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. They were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women. Amen. This goes on up until today. Amen. The day of Pentecost experience is still happening today. This is the only way. Now, there's another scripture that I want to go to real quick. And it's in the book of Colossians, Colossians 3 and 17. This just backs up what I want to do right now. Colossians 3 and 17. Let's go there real quick. Colossians 3 and 17. This is backs up being baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. Colossians 3 and 17 says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Amen. We must have salvation through the name of Jesus Christ. There are a lot of people. Now, watch this. You must be baptized in Jesus' name. You must see the baptism, the repentance, just like Peter said, the repentance, the baptism, and receiving the Holy Ghost is symbolic of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. When you repent, that is your spiritual death. Amen. When you are baptized, when you go down in the water, baptism means you are going under the water. The word, and I believe it's in the Greek or Hebrew, in the Greek and Hebrew language, baptism means another word for baptizo, which means submerge. What does submerge mean? Submerge means you go under the water. It's just the burial, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you repent, you have your spiritual death. You can't physically go on a cross and die. So when you repent of your sins, your spirit man, your old self is dead. What do we do to all dead? We bury the dead, right? Amen. The dead has to go underneath the grave, right? Go by the grave, right? So your old sinful nature now is going down in the water, and that is symbolic of your spiritual burial. Your old man is being buried in a liquid grave. Amen? Your old man is being buried underneath in a liquid grave, and you're coming up in the newness of life. When you come up out of the water, you come up speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Amen? Amen, and that is your relief. That is you walking in the newness of life. Then you could say, "Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me." Amen. But if we don't have those steps, look, watch this. And even Jesus himself said we need the water. Jesus himself said we need his spirit, or we can't see the kingdom of heaven. Let's go to John chapter 3. Let's go to John chapter 3. St. John St. John chapter 3. Amen. St. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. Verses 3 through 6. Amen. St. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. And Jesus said unto him, amen. St. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. Amen. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You got to be born again. Amen. And
The man in verse number 4, a soldier came to Jesus. This is a soldier coming to Jesus by night. Amen. A soldier by the name of Nicodemus. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Which means, how can I be born again and I'm a grown man? I'm gonna use myself when I say this. I'm talking to Jesus and I'm saying, Jesus, how can I be born again? And I'm a 34-year-old man. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? Can I go back into my mother's womb being 34 years old? No. And this is Nicodemus asking that question. How can I be the age that I am? How can I enter back into my mother's womb and be born again? Jesus wasn't talking about that. A natural birth. That's why he said be born again. Born again. You had your natural birth. Your natural birth, you were born in sin. That's why in the book of Psalms it said we were born and shapen in iniquity. Iniquity means sin. Amen? We were all born and shapen in iniquity. Amen? We've had our natural birth. We've had our first birth. Now, Jesus is talking about our second birth. And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of what? Of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You have to be born of the water and the Spirit. You have to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And this is the only way to see the kingdom. That's why when you hear at the end of the show, when I quote Acts 2 and 38, and I say, well, this is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace. This is the only way to see the Lord's face, to see the kingdom of heaven. Well, that's it. I'm telling you the truth. You've got to be born again. You've got to be born again. And look, I told somebody a long time ago, because they were living a lifestyle that was not right. And they were like, I'm born this way. I was born like this. And da, 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 da. How am I supposed to change who I am? And I was born like this. I said, well, sir, I said, first of all, you weren't born like that. I'll tell you that now. But let's just say you were. And in a way, you were, because you were born in sin, just like everybody else. You were born in sin. You weren't born that way. But that's just one of the sins you have on you now. But let me say this. If you were born like that, you could be born again. Because the Bible says be born again. Amen. So any sin that you are carrying, any sin that man carries on them, you were born in sin. You were born with sinful nature. But you got to get that sinful nature off of you. Amen. Man has to get the sinful nature off of them. And there's a lot of preachers that say, well, Let me finish this last verse. Verse number 6. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. What this is saying to us, that which is born of flesh is flesh. Whatever, you've had your natural birth. Now you need to have your spiritual birth. You were born and shapen in sin. Now you must be born and shapen in salvation. And salvation does not come by you just saying, I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart. That's not all of it, baby. That's not all of it, man. That's not all of it, young lady. That's not all of it. Honey, please let me help you. That ain't all of it.
Allah is not going to save you. Buddha will not save you. But there is a name given among men whereby we must be saved, and that name is Jesus. Hinduism can't save you unless they. Now I don't debunk anybody's religion. The names, Catholic, Protestant, whatever. If they baptize in the name of Jesus, then hey, you're good with me. Because there are some Baptists, there are some Methodists, there are some of those that baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. Some, very, very few. If you are following, this is the apostles' doctrine, Acts 2 and 38. Amen. And in these other scriptures in Acts, in the book of Acts, you must be baptized in Jesus' name. There is no other way. There's a way that seemeth right to man, but the end thereof is death. Why is it death? Because you have not received life. In John chapter 10, he said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I came that you might have life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Without him, there is no life. And the other word of the other avenue to life is death. The wages of sin, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin. When you partake in sin, the wages of sin is death. Amen. This is now, let's go to, since we have debunked every other name in every other way. Man, I love this because Jesus. I love it because this is the way. This is the only way. Amen. I love the fact. I love the Word of God because the Word of God is just so, it lets you know you, it lets you know of what God wants out of you, of what God wants out of me, of what God wants out of you, of his statutes, of his standards of that he wants from us. Amen. I'm loving this. I love it. But this is something that I love to do. Amen. I love talking about this because the Bible lets us know that there is no other way. There is no other way. Amen. Amen. Now let's go to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, real quick, because the world and some preachers, will tell you that if you just confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you're saved. You're saved. As soon as you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you're saved. Not so. Not so. Once you receive the Holy Ghost, you're saved. Once you receive the Holy Ghost, you're saved. Actually, yeah, once you receive the Holy Ghost, you are saved. Amen. Now, I know many people say that, I know a lot of people say, well,
It says it in there. It says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, yeah, it does say it in there. You shall be saved. It says that in there in verse number 9. In fact, we're going to read it. Romans chapter 10, verse number 9. It reads, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God has risen him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Now, I'm going to break this verse down real quick. It said you shall be. It didn't say you was. Well, it says in Acts 10:38 that you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost too. It said you shall. Right. Receiving the Holy Ghost, receiving salvation, you have to want to receive it. You have to want to receive it. It's just like for all of you people that love football, for all of our football fans and basketball fans and stuff, when those players go up and down a court or up and down the field, they pass in football. When that quarterback passes that football to the wide receiver, that quarterback is throwing that ball down the field, but that wide receiver has to get in position to catch that pass, right? He didn't just say, oh, I want to catch the pass. He said it out of his mouth. Oh, I believe I'm going to catch that pass. He believes he's going to catch it. When he's running down the field, right? He's running down the field trying to get down there quick, and then he looks behind him and tries to turn his body a certain way so he can catch that pass. But he hasn't caught it until that ball actually hits his hands, right? And that ball, and he hit, and if he hits the ground or he's standing up and he, you know, reaches for the pass, or that basketball player reaches in for that, you know, asking for the ball. He's on the court, and he's asking that player, hey, pass me the ball. He's saying, pass me the ball. But until he receives that ball, he can't do anything, right? Now, he can believe all day that he can catch that pass. He can believe all day that he can catch that basketball in his hand. But until he catches that ball, whether it be football, basketball, whatever, until they catch. And when I say catch, I don't, because some people say, well, I caught the Holy Ghost. No. If you jumping and shouting does not mean you caught the Holy Ghost. Because if you can catch it, you can drop it too. I don't want to catch. I want to receive. If I give you a gift, you ain't just going to receive. You're going to receive that gift, right? If I got on this radio station and said, and don't be alarmed, Bishop Cook. If I got on this radio station and said, I'm giving away $1 million, that people will be hot on the line, be ready to receive it. If I say the Lord didn't tell me this. I'm just using this as an example, y'all. Lord told me to give away $5 million to the first caller. Of course, you're going to jump on the phone to try to receive that money, right? You're going to do whatever you're doing. You're going to drop whatever you're doing to show action in that, right? That's the same thing with this verse. It says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart. Amen. You can confess it and you can believe in your heart. But until you show action, your belief in your confession does not is not void. Actions of a man show God what your real intent is. So you can go up there and say all day that, Brother Adam, if I got on this broadcast today and said I'm offering the first caller, I'm offering the first 10 callers $1 million. Well, Brother Adam, I'm going to be the first caller. Brother Adam, I'm going to be one of the first 10 callers. Well, if you don't get on the phone and say, Bishop Cook, I'm one of the callers, and she puts you through to talk to me, but the first step is you got to get on the phone, right? The first step is you got to pick up that phone and dial that number. That's the action. Amen? I'm going to give you this example, too. If you, about the name, about receiving salvation in the name of Jesus Christ, if I give you a check for $1 million, then you're going to take that check to that bank and cash that check. But on that check has a name. And it doesn't say on that check, but you, is this him, this is it right here. I give you a check. And this is symbolic of you receiving the Holy Ghost, okay? The Holy Ghost is the money, all right? This is the way I'm going to put it. The Holy Ghost is symbolic of, or the money is symbolic of you receiving the Holy Ghost, amen? I'm giving you a check with my name on it, giving you $1 million. But at the bottom, you got to sign that check with your name on there. I can't put on there to the person of what titles you have. Yes, you're a son or a daughter like me. I can't put, if somebody writes me a check, they can't put on there, I'm a father to my children. I'm a brother to my sisters and my brothers. I'm a son to my mother and my father. I'm a husband to my wife. Banks don't want to know that. The bank want to know my name. The bank wants to know my name to receive that money. What is your name? And Jesus put his name on that spiritual check. He didn't put Father. He didn't put Son. He didn't put Holy Ghost. He put his name and sealed it with his blood so that you might have right to the tree of life, so that you might be able to receive the Holy Ghost. That's why he said but the Comforter will come in what? My name. He said the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, will come in what? My name. My name. He put his name on there, on that spiritual check for you, to let you know, hey, you could receive this because it's in my name. You could receive this benefit now because why? My name is on it. My name got some power to it. Amen. My name got power to it. My name got power. Don't nobody else's name got power like mine. Well, Acts 1 and 8 says, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall have what? Power. Why? Because you have received the Holy Ghost. You have received the Spirit of God. And the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What is that? That's the Holy Ghost. That is Jesus on the inside of you. You got the greater on the inside of you. Amen. This is where salvation comes from. This is how we receive salvation. This is how we'll be able to get out of here one day. Amen. And let's go to let's finish reading Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Now watch this. Verse number 10 says, for with the heart of man believeth unto salvation. This is the coming up to, believeth unto righteousness. I'm sorry. For with the heart believeth unto righteousness. This is the heart. You can believe all day, but your heart believes that Jesus rose from the dead. You can believe it all day, but until you show action with your belief is non-void. Amen. This is coming up to righteousness. You're coming up to righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made
unto salvation. Your confession is coming up to salvation. It ain't there yet, but it's almost there. You got to take the necessary steps now. You got to show action now. What is the action? The confession is, Lord, I repent for each and every one of my sins. That's your death. Hallelujah. Your action. What is your belief action? Your belief action is being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And then after you do those two steps, you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, just as they did on the day of Pentecost. And there's some people that say, well, why do I need the tongues? I thought tongues was a spiritual gift. It is a spiritual gift, but that's different. What I mean by that's different, the gift of tongues and speaking in tongues is two totally different things. Having the gift of tongues, you got that confused with the gift of tongues, giving prophecies and all that stuff. Those are spiritual gifts, yes. But speaking in tongues, and I've said this before on the show, you need the speaking in tongues as they did on the day of Pentecost, because you need that for two things. You need that for to let you know that the Holy Ghost has come in, because the Spirit, you can't see the Spirit of God enter into you just like you can't see the wind, but you can only know that the wind is there when it blows through the trees, right? Amen. And that wind that came in on the day of Pentecost, because it said the Holy Ghost came in as a rushing mighty wind, right? They couldn't see that wind, but when that wind hit in them, when that wind went into them, there was some noise made. Just like with the wind, when the wind blows, you hear the noise of the wind. When a baby is born, that baby what? That baby cries, right? And if that baby does not cry, that baby is what? Stillborn. And we got some stillborn saints right up in the church that think that they have received salvation and ain't really received salvation yet. They on the cusp of it. They've received the repentance and the baptism, but they ain't received the gift of the Holy Ghost because they ain't spoken tongues. You will speak in tongues. God says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. Man might change, but God does not change. He doesn't change nothing. He changes nothing. He changes not. Amen. He changes not. He changes not. Now, watch this. You might say, well, Brother Adam, I'm starting to believe, but how do I know that this is really, really true? How do I know? Give me a final thing to know that this is true. All of what you said is true. I'll even give you one better. Let's go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Verse number 1. Amen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Amen. He is letting us know. Right here in this verse, that if you come in, there might be different religions that tell you you can receive salvation this way and that way. There might be different preachers that say, well, if you just confess with your mouth and believe in your heart Then you say, no, if you come in any other way, except the one way, there's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And if you don't come in this way, the Bible just declared in John chapter 10, verse 1, that you come in any other way, the same is as a thief and a robber. You're breaking and entering. You trying to come in. Well, I can be saved through. I had somebody tell me, well, just because you say the name Jesus doesn't mean that I'm not serving. And I say Allah, or I say this name, doesn't mean that I'm not serving your God. Well, he said his name was Jesus. You could say Roberto. That don't mean you're serving Jesus. The Bible says, many shall come in my name. Many shall cry, Lord, Lord, and won't enter in. There's going to be many that cry, Lord, Lord, and won't enter in. This is the only way to have your sins remitted. This is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace. Amen. It's through salvation, through the name of Jesus Christ. There's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. We read it today. Amen. We must believe, and our belief must be in action. We must repent. We must be baptized, and we must receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For if you do not take on his spirit, you are none of his. If you do not have his spirit, you, Bible says, you are none of his. If you do not have his spirit, you're none of his. And that's Bible. That's not from my book. That's from the Word of God. If you don't have his spirit, you will not see the kingdom of God. You won't be able to see it. Amen. And actually, let's go there real quick, and this is going to be my last, I believe this is going to be my last one. Matter of fact, I'll say it to you, and I'll read it. You can read it in your leisure, actually, because we're about to wrap up here. But I thank God for being here. But we thank God. In Romans chapter 8, verse number 9, it reads, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." This means you don't belong to him. If you don't have the Spirit of God on the inside of you, which is the Holy Ghost, you are none of his. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that he loves you any less? No, that does not mean he loves you less. That don't mean he don't love you less. That does not mean he don't love you no less. He loves you. He loves you. But because the Bible says he reigns on the just and the unjust. But there's some benefits that you will not receive if you don't have his spirit. And I'm going to use this as an example, and then I'm going to get out of here. It's just like I told I was witnessing to somebody, and this was the best example I could give them about the benefits of God and about having his spirit. When I was living in my parents' home as a child, I had the benefits of my father. Amen. I had the benefits of my father. Why? Because I was his son. Because I took on, when I was born, I was given what? His last name. I carried his last name. And this is the natural side. This is my natural father. When I was born, I took on my father's natural last name. My natural father. And down through the years, when I had to go to the doctor, when I had doctor's appointments, I was able to be carried on his what? Insurance as a child. Amen. That old song that says, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Amen. You will be able to receive that blessed assurance when you take on the name of Jesus. But just like I told when I was witnessing to this person, I said, I was able to carry the benefits of my father by living with my father and having my father's last name, all right? I was able to get dental, vision, and all this stuff because I didn't have it because I was a child, right? But somebody living outside, somebody living like some of my friends that used to come over, they didn't receive those benefits because they didn't live with us, right? But when they spent the night at our house, they got some of my father's benefits. Well, you might say, well, how did they get some of your father's benefits? What benefits did they get? They got a roof over their head. Wherever, how many nights they spent the night, amen. They got a meal. They got to eat. They got to eat from our table, from our dinner table. They got the same food we ate. Amen. They got the same blessings we got. When our friends used to come over, my mama, Jesus Christ, my mama used to anoint everybody in the house. Friend or foe, if you stayed there, if you spent the night there, you was getting anointed too. That's the benefits of the house. They didn't live with us. They didn't live with us. They didn't carry my dad's last name, but they were there. They were in the house. They spent the night, so they got some of the benefits. They didn't get all of the benefits, though, you see. They didn't get the dental, the vision, the health care, the all of that. Amen? Some of them didn't get to go to church every Sunday. They didn't get the benefits of going to Sunday school every day. Every day, Jesus. It felt like it. But they didn't get to go to a Sunday school every Sunday, some of them. Amen? They didn't get the benefits of that. Only when they came over to our house is when they got the benefits. That's what I'm talking about. When you receive the Spirit of God, you get all of the benefits. But if you don't have His Spirit, you receive some of the benefits. Some of the benefits of not having His Spirit, not having the Holy Ghost, is waking up every day, having another chance to receive the Holy Ghost. If you woke up this morning, you got a benefit. You got a roof over your head. That's a benefit. He reigns over the just and the unjust. Those are some of the benefits. But some of those blessings are cut short because you don't have you haven't met the requirements of those blessings. What are some of the requirements? Being in his deep, deep presence, being able to worship him. Because the Bible says, he who worships him must worship him in what? In spirit and in truth. You've got to have the spirit to worship God. But the benefit is you can praise the Lord, but you can't worship the Lord without his spirit. You can praise the Lord without God's spirit because the Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Amen. Amen. That's a benefit. You can praise him, but you can't worship him. That's an example right there. Amen. But I praise God. I'm finished. I'm done. But we praise God for knowing where salvation, where true salvation is. This is true salvation. And these are the steps to true salvation. These are the true steps to true salvation. Amen. And I pray that you got something out of this. I pray that you got something out of it. I pray that the Lord bless you on this week. I pray that God's mercy, God's grace be upon you. Amen. And if you want this salvation, if you want this salvation, go to a church that baptizes in the name of Jesus Christ, and that is that believes in the baptism in Jesus' name and being filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I love you. I love each and every one of you. And until next week, amen. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on the Spirit Alive Network, right here on Blog Talk Radio. This is the transformation station where you can be ye transformed. And until next week, make sure you listen to each and every one of our shows that we got this week on the Spirit Alive Network. In Jesus' name, God bless you. I love you. And until next week, God bless you. God bless you. God keep you. And as my grandmother used to say, if you don't see me again, and since we're on the radio and you can't see me, amen, if you don't hear my voice again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you. I love each and every one of you. In Jesus' name, God bless you.